This is the Pin Drop Group Community, the show about Pinellas County and the local businesses we know and love here. I am your host, Natalie Pindar. I am finally back and interviewing local businesses now for our season three, which I want to focus entirely on real estate assisted businesses. Today we spoke to Kelly Santos of AmeriFirst. She is a loan originator. She is somebody who we've worked with who closes our buyers and their loans. It's been an amazing experience with Kelly. I got to ask her all about the inside process, not just the beginning or the end or even the major parts that everybody knows about, but what really goes on behind the scenes and what she thinks about interest rates. And even we got to talk about new construction homes. So if you're interested in buying anywhere in the country, definitely take a listen to what Kelly has to say, because for me, I thought it was entirely refreshing. Love her and love getting back into presenting you with all of this.
Of course. Yeah, I have one closing on Friday that they were with another lender. I don't know the buyer's agent, but the listing agent, you know, was told that the deal was, you know, falling apart. And so he called me and, you know, we're doing it, you know, we're closing on Friday. So, you know,
that's awesome.
Listing agents. I mean, just because you're on the listing side doesn't mean that, you know, if that deal falls apart, you want to keep it together, because it's going to, if it can be kept together, it's going to close faster than starting all over again.
Well, yeah. And I mean, buyers are doing, they're already out a couple of grand or more on prepaids, you know, so nobody really wants to not buy the house.
Right.
It's not usually the typical need is to get out of it, you know?
Absolutely. And then sometimes you just want to know, like, you know, I can't always come in and save the deal, but at least I'll be able to tell them very quickly, nope, there's no deal here. Or yeah, we can do this, you know? Right. So that they know whether they need to, you know, try and make this one work or move on, you know?
Yeah. So I guess my main question for you, which I get number one question, is what's the difference between working with you as a loan originator, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're a lender. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we're a lender and I'm the loan originator.
Correct. So what's the difference between working with you and if I went to Wells Fargo or Bank of America?
Well, Wells Fargo and Bank of America are banks, but you would be dealing with their, you know, their lending division, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I would say that the banks tend to have more what are called overlays, meaning their lending is more restrictive than a company like AmeriFirst, where, you know, we pretty much underwrite to the guidelines of Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHA, VA. But a lot of banks have overlays where even though FHA will allow it, they will not, you know, say, for instance, a minimum credit score. You know, FHA, you know, will do 3.5% down payment down to a 580 credit score. But the bank may decide that they aren't going to accept anything less than a 640. You know, so that's an example of an overlay.
Okay.
So you do have those a lot with the banks. And so that's one of the major differences, you know, and, you know, other differences might vary from originator to originator. Some folks find that the communication and the personal level of service is not as good, you know, when you're dealing with a bank, as opposed to someone like myself, but you know, that may vary depending on who you're working with.
I've noticed that when I'm dealing with a big national bank all over, that's everywhere, right? And every corner, they don't really know each other when they're working together as a team. So once it goes from somebody's desk to another desk, which it goes to many, they have no idea who has it. They just know it's in Texas right now and it should be back before the 30th. And there's like no questions. There's nothing you can do till it comes back. And then hopefully you don't have to like redo your whole file.
Right.
But with you guys, you are a little bit different. Is that so?
Well, I mean, I know all of the people, even if they're not here local. Like I have my local team. I have, you know, my processor and my assistant and we manage the file. I manage it ultimately. I'm like the captain of the ship, but there's other people on the ship, you know, doing their part, you know. But during, you know, from start to finish, I'm managing the file. So my mm-hmm. team works it. The underwriters may not be here local in my office, but I know them all. Like we have the same underwriting team for all of our files. So it's going to be, you know, one of probably five different underwriters. So we have relationships with them, you know, same with our closers, you know. Right. So it's, you know, you're not going to have a situation where, you know, you're going to have one person that does everything on a file. There's a lot of people that do their part. But, you know, with AmeriFirst, we have, you know, teams and we have relationships within our team members so that, you know, we can, you know, rely on them and we know, you know, how to reach out to them and get an answer if we need a rush or whatever. You know, right. it's not this big, you know, big bogged down system where you're just kind of at the mercy of, you know, so many people that, you know, you don't have any control.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and I mean, I have to give your team a quick testimonial because the most recent closing that we've done was so seamless and I didn't feel like I had to babysit you at all. Mm-hmm. I tend to have to be like, so what's going on with us this week? What's going on with us that week? And you guys were really ahead of everything. And I think that speaks to what you just said, that, you know, you're tight-knit, especially locally, and yeah. you know what's going on, you know.
Well, I mean, I appreciate that. And thank you. And we do, you know, we take what we do very seriously. We know that we have many people's, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, nobody's life is on the line, but their lives, you know, they're moving. They have things planned. Right. They have
oh, yeah.
everything. And then sometimes you have these back-to-back transactions, you know, where you might have two or three or four families involved in this. And so we realize how important it is to close on time and to communicate throughout the process. And, you know, if you haven't worked with us before, you might end up, you know, babysitting a lot because you don't know. But I've got, you know, agents like yourself and others that I work with, and they know that, you know, we've got it. If there's a problem, you know, you're going to know right away, you know,
right.
You know, and, you know, hey, this is life. Things happen. You know, sometimes appraisals come in low or sometimes, you know, stuff will happen. But, you know, the best way to deal with that is just to communicate with everyone fully and to solve the problem. I mean, ultimately, that's what we do. You know, otherwise, right. you could just go online and get a loan. And, you know, some people do that. But it's, you know, it's tough if something happens. It's just like, you know, you as a real estate agent, you know, can you buy a house without a real estate agent? In a perfect world, if everything, you know, if there sure. were no problems, sure. But that's not the way that it goes. So you need the, you know, the people that know what they're doing and know how to solve the problems working for you. So
when I start working with somebody and they ask for a lender referral and I tell them about, you know, what to expect, I always know that they can come to you with all their questions. So can you walk me through really quickly what it's like when you get that call and they say, hey, Natalie told me to give you a call. I really want to buy a house in the next 6 months. What is it that they need to do with you to get started?
Well, I mean, so first, usually it starts with a conversation, and especially uh-huh. now it's on the phone. And, you know, we just kind of talk a little bit about, you know, what they're wanting to do. And if they're first time home buyers, you know, then that's good for me to know, you know, because first of all, I know that I need to, you know, probably do more hand holding, which we're happy to do that. But also maybe they might qualify for some special first time home buyer programs. We do a lot of that. So we have, you know, a conversation to start, but ultimately I'm going to ask them to submit their application, which that is going to tell me the information I need to be able to let them know what they qualify for.
What do they need for their application? Like, what should they have ready?
You know, they should have an idea of what their assets are. You know, they don't have to have necessarily their bank statements in front of them or their pay stubs in front of them, although it's helpful. You know, the more mm-hmm. accurate, you know, it's kind of garbage in, garbage out on these type of things. So
right.
the more accurate they are, you know, with their information when they complete the application, you know, the better I am able to figure out what they qualify for. But, you know, some people, you know, you can do the application in 20 minutes or, mm-hmm. or less. You know, it's a basic loan application where, you know, where have you lived for the last 2 years? Where have you worked for the last 2 years? What are your assets? You know, what's your income? And you authorize a credit check because that's an important part of the pre-qualification is that your credit is reviewed, you know, to see, you know, what your debts are and what your credit history is like and your credit score. So those are things, that we look at once they submit the application.
And the pre-qualification is what goes through underwriting. And a pre-approval is what goes through underwriting. And a pre-qualification is a conversation. Is that correct? Or am I getting that wrong?
Kind of. So a pre-qualification does go through an automated underwriting system. Okay. So, but usually the pre-qualification, we're not going to have their documentation to support the information in their application.
Okay.
So for instance, when someone applies and, they're a regular salaried wage earner and they put in their income and their assets in the application, tell us what they make and we run their credit. With that information, I will review it and run it through the automated underwriting system based on the type of loan that, they're going to qualify for. And once we get the approval there, I'll talk with the borrowers and then I'll issue a pre-qualification. Okay. Now, a pre-approval is after they send us their supporting documentation. So immediately after they do their application, we send them a list of what paperwork we need. Usually it's two months bank statements, their last two pay stubs, and their last 2 years W-2s. Sometimes we need taxes. So we are sending them that list immediately. Once they provide those documents to us, that's when we can submit for a pre-approval. And that's when their paperwork is reviewed by an underwriter and they have a pre-approval. So it's a stronger level of qualification.
Okay. Yeah. And honestly, that's what sellers want to see, especially in today's market where it's so crazy that they're getting 12, 13 offers again.
Yep.
They want to make sure that you've been through that heavy level of pre-approval.
And especially with, some lenders, they're getting these pre-qualifications online. Like it's more of an automated thing. Nobody has really had a conversation or closely reviewed, this application, especially when it comes to like self-employed individuals. I'll never give a pre-qualification without looking at their taxes. And, that's not always the case with all, loan originators or lenders. So it does make a difference if someone has been pre-approved. It is a lot stronger than a simple pre-qualification.
Okay. When I try to explain underwriting to buyers as much as possible, because this is the part where they've never really been introduced to, especially if they're first-time home buyers, they understand that they have to go through a certain series of things in the contract, but our contract doesn't cover what you guys are doing in underwriting. So can you help explain what that process is like once they finally submit an offer? Or I'm sorry, submit a contract?
Sure. Yeah. So we up front, I'm a loan originator and we have processors. We communicate, with the borrower, we get their paperwork and we submit it to underwriting. And what that is, that's a person, we have obviously several underwriters on our team, but it gets reviewed by a person and their job, what they're trained to do and certified to do is to review the application and the supporting documentation and the credit to make sure that it meets the guidelines for the program that they've applied for. So they, whether it's a conventional loan, so they're, if that's the case, they're looking to make sure it meets the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac guidelines. They're reviewing the paperwork. With an FHA loan, they have to be certified as FHA underwriters. And so that's their job is to review everything and ensure that the loan meets the program guidelines. And then they issue a commitment. And initially it's going to be the first time they look at it, usually they're going to review a file, issue a loan approval or a commitment. And it's going to have what are called conditions. And that means this loan is approved subject to receipt of these conditions. And those things could be property appraisal, supporting the value, could be updated pay stubs. They may want an explanation of something such as maybe there was a gap in employment or maybe there was a late payment on a credit card. So things like that are very typical as conditions for the approval, but that's what they issue is the loan approval or conditional loan commitment And then we go back to the borrowers or the buyers and we say, okay, your loan's approved. Here's a short list of the final things we need to satisfy the loan approval and to get your final loan approval, which is also called a clear to close. So that's what the underwriter, they're the ones that are issuing that and reviewing the file for file quality and to make sure that it meets the guidelines. So that's what that part of the process is.
Yeah. And I mean, 99% of the time, buyers don't know what clear to close is. They think once appraisal comes in, they're ready to go. But sometimes, like you say, mm-hmm. there's a couple of things that the underwriter needs and we just weren't expecting it. So now is the time from appraisal to clear to close where they really need to be on top of paperwork, especially if something's requested. So I'm really glad you brought that up because those little things on that piece of paper that come in, they might seem insignificant, but they're just needed to get that last right. clear to close statement and then closing disclosures can go out. So
correct.
That's a really good point. Now it's September 2020. It's the end of September 2020. What are you guys seeing in terms of interest rates? How's it going in that department?
Well, interest rates are low, as probably most people, you know, have heard. They're historically low. They're mm-hmm. wonderful, you know, and that's great. I mean, it's great. You know, we're super busy and we're thankful for that. And it's great for consumers because, you know, people are able to purchase, you know, more home. You know, when rates are lower, you have mm-hmm. more buying power. So right. you can, you know, be able to buy a higher price home than you would have last year when rates were higher. So interest rates are very low right now. And the expectation is that they are going to remain low for a while. You know,
okay.
what that while is, who knows, but we expect them. I mean, as long as we're trying to, you know, recover from this and we're still not beyond it yet, you know, so mm-hmm. as long as our economy, you know, is in the situation that we're in, the Fed is going to keep rates low so as to, you know, stimulate the economy. And it's also mm-hmm. helpful for people that are refinancing their homes, you know, so people
right.
have, you know, they're able to take, you know, their mortgages that they currently have and refinance them for a lower interest rate. You know, mm-hmm. so a lot of people, you know, will reduce the term of their loan because, you know, by the time that they're reducing their rate, they may have a very close to the same payment, but they could cut years off of their mortgage, you know? So
right.
It's very good for homeowners as well as people that are wanting to buy homes, you know? So the expectation, and we need that, you know, and then people maybe are pulling their equity out, you know, to for whatever reasons that they need. So I think that the Fed realizes that rates need to remain low for, you know, as long as it takes to kind of move through what we're going through here. So mm-hmm. that's the expectation. You know, you never know, things happen, you know, in the economy that could throw a curveball, but hopefully, you know, that won't be the case. And even throughout the election, the expectation is that, you know, the rates are going to remain low. So hopefully that will be the case.
Well, that's amazing because it just makes everything so much easier for everyone who's been planning on doing this and thought that they couldn't.
Right.
You know, when the news broke, it was like, oh no. Or, you know, they got worried about all that money they saved if they were going to have to use it towards something else, if it was going to be worth what it's worth then, if it was going to be worth that now. So it really is refreshing to know that that's being taken care of. And we've seen a buyer influx. I don't know if we talked about this. Are you from Tampa Bay or did you move here?
I've been here since the late 80s.
Okay.
So been here a very long time.
Okay, that's awesome. Have you seen it really change since then? I feel like it's changed since I've been here since 2014.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. I mean, when I moved here from Indiana, I was in high school, but we moved to Pinellas County. You know, and mm-hmm. Pinellas County has changed, but Pinellas County was pretty built up even then, you know.
Okay.
But like Pasco County is where I live now. I live in the Trinity area, but this was nothing, you know, and you know, it's really grown. And absolutely, the area has grown. But I think, you know, it's improved. I mean, unless you want to live out in the country, and then you probably would move away from these areas that are, you know, growing with all the new homes and so forth.
My father thinks this is the country. He's from Brooklyn. He's like, oh. I love living out in the sticks.
Yeah. Well, I guess we're suburbs, you know, we're pretty spread out in Tampa Bay. But yeah, I mean, the area has grown, but I mean, I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. I love
you. You just mentioned new construction. You guys do loans with new construction homes too?
We do not offer construction loans. So if you wanted to purchase a lot and hire a builder to build a home on there, and the builder didn't provide the financing, you would need a construction loan. We don't offer those, but when people inquire, you know, about those with me, then I'll refer them to somebody I know, you know, with another company that does them. Now, if you're buying in a community, you know, with you know, a good sized builder, you generally don't need a construction loan. You just need the loan for when the home is completed and you get the home and the keys. And we do those we don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cause I know sometimes, buyers feel like they have to work with whatever the financing team is in the community, but that's not always the best choice I've seen.
It's not, but honestly, a lot of times what happens is the builders have a relationship, often a financial relationship, some type of affiliation with those lenders.
Right.
And so they offer incentives, to the buyers.
Right.
And only if they use their lenders.
Right.
So, and a lot of times those incentives are so much that there's nothing I can do to compete with them. You know? I mean, there just isn't, you know, they're giving them, you know, $10,000 to $20,000 of either upgrades or closing costs or whatever. And
you're not throwing in any new pools anytime soon.
No, not. So I'll be honest with people and let them know that. Now I have had cases, like even myself, when I bought a new home, where they, you know, said you have to use our lender. And I was like, you know, no, I mean, and obviously, you know, I'm different. Uh-huh. I'm a lender myself, but you know, I have seen people where they, you know, have already been pre-approved by me. Maybe they didn't initially intend to go purchase a brand new home, and they were able to negotiate, you know, to still use me and get the incentives. But typically that's not the case.
Yeah. But it happens. I mean, you never know. So it's not always. I mean,
everything is negotiable, right?
So, right. You know, right.
I mean, the realtor on that one that was representing the buyer, you know, really also pushed and negotiated for it. And I don't think people realize that. And just to give you kind of a boost, that people don't realize that they can have, and they should have, their own real estate agent when they're going to purchase a new home in a new home community, because the you know, the real estate agent that is there in the model homes or whatever, those are representative of the seller. And so you, as a buyer, people don't realize they can have their own realtor who can negotiate for them for the new home construction. And they really should. So it really makes a difference to have somebody on your side.
I'm not going to lie. The smoke screens in those offices and model homes when you get there are so thick sometimes. I'm like, this is a joke, right? I'm like standing there. I'm like, I can't believe you guys are saying all these things.
Right.
And then you get that 1800 page contract
to
show your buyer. And I'm like, none of that's in here. So I'm really glad you said that. It's hard to explain because it can be so specific from community to community.
Right. There's no standard contract. And that's I see that as a big problem, you know, especially, you know, if somebody doesn't have their own real estate agent who is, you know, on their side, because, you know, when you most resale homes, everyone's using the same FARBAR contract. It's a standard contract and everyone knows all the verbs in it, you know, all the verbiage in it. And as far as everyone, meaning real estate agents, you know, but you're right. These builder contracts are all different and you have to read every single word. Otherwise you're going to miss something. You know, you could miss something very important. You could miss a $5,000 fee, you know, that you didn't know of, that they, you know, they say, oh, you signed it, so you were aware of it. But really, you know, you're not, most people aren't reading all that. But when you have a real estate agent, you know, that's your job, you know, is to read it all and to point out everything to them. It makes a big difference.
Yeah, I mean, and they're not all bad, but they do have very thick contracts. So it's definitely worth going through page by page. But this was really fun. I'm glad we talked about these things because it also gives me the opportunity just to get to know your system a little bit better. Like I know things work out well, so I always return. However, asking these detailed questions, you know, from the first time we met to now, there's so much time in between and so much history that's gone down in the lending world. So this was really good update for me and for my team. And I'm really excited about posting this one because buyers are coming in aplenty right now.
Right. Well, good. I'm glad. And I appreciate you, you know, taking the initiative to invite me, you know, to talk with you about it because, you know, I think there is misconceptions out there too, you know, especially when COVID first hit. You know, it did affect a lot of lenders negatively. And, you know, there were some changes, but it wasn't on a larger Fannie Mae or FHA level. It was more of a per lender specific level. But, you know, there were some changes, but ultimately rates are still low. You can still purchase a home, you know, with as little as, well, zero down for VA or 3.5% down for FHA. Mm-hmm. There's still down payment assistance. I mean, there's still, you know, plenty of opportunities for people to purchase homes. So, you know, and with rates being as low as they are, you know, it's really a great time to take advantage of that.
Yeah. And sellers are still paying some closing costs for buyers. It's not ancient history either. So that's awesome. Thank you so much, Kelly. This was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. Thanks, Natalie.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.